Here's Andy Udman.
Well, what you've heard about the benefits, it's all about marketing. Soy is being promoted as a health food because that's what makes people buy soy. They don't buy it for the taste, or most people don't. So soy has been heavily marketed as curing everything from cancer to ingrown toenails. And as for that rumor that soy prevents heart disease, yes, we do have an FDA-approved health claim on that, but you know, the American Heart Association last year came out and said, we made a mistake. Soy is not a health food. It does not prevent heart disease. Yeah. It does not lower cholesterol. Babies are at the highest risk because soy formula is all they're eating. Little babies, vulnerable, key stages of their developing brains and bodies, and all they're getting is the soy formula. What we've got happening right now is the Israeli Health Ministry has come out and warned against soy. They've said babies should not get soy formula, that children up to age 18 should eat it no more than 3 times a week and no more than once a day, and that adults should be cautious because of adverse effects on fertility and increased breast cancer risk.
Soy. Three little letters, S-O-Y, or if you want to make it four letters, how about tofu? Isn't that the quintessential healthy food? If you have enough soy and enough tofu, you'll never get disease. You'll grow hair on your chest. Your biceps will be bigger. You'll never get cancer. We have a certain image of tofu. Our kids hated tofu. They even threatened mom, if you make us eat any more tofu... Well, maybe they were on the right track. Pam Colleen is in this morning, and you know when Pam Colleen is in, it's going to be a four-coupon ride. Pam, welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Andy.
Let's talk about our image of soy.
I bought into it for many, many years back in the 90s. It was a new food back then, and, I was struggling with my health, and I thought, I thought soy was a healthy food, and so I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. I used to eat lots and lots of soy, and I believed it to be healthy, and then, of course, as I dug into the research, I found out that soy has a very, very dark side to it.
Well, first of all, it tastes so bad, it must be good. It must be good for you. It tastes like cod liver oil. No, it has no taste, basically, just a very bland taste.
As we'll hear in a little while from Dr. Kayla Daniel, who wrote the book. She literally wrote the book on the dark side of soy, which is called The Whole Soy Story. You know, the soy industry many, many years ago knew that they wanted to make money off of the byproducts that they used from making soybean oil, like your Crisco's or your Wessons or what have you. They wanted to make some money off of the waste product, off of the slurry. So they spent many, many years, spent lots of money developing soy foods for conscientious consumers that would flock to health food stores back in the 1980s, for example.
If we were just to open up the phone lines and ask people, what do you think of tofu? What do you think of soy? What would they say?
Well, the vast majority of people out there actually do believe that these are healthy foods.
Before we get to the dark side, let's get to the light side, because there are a lot of people who love tofu and who love soy, so they go to stores like Quartermaster Health Food over there in Wortley Village. I've been there many times. We have on the line from the store the manager, Andy Pettifer. Andy, how are you this morning?
I'm great. Thank you, sir.
Great name you have there, Andy.
I thought you'd like that.
Yes, absolutely. Andy, how popular is soy? How popular are soy products?
It's a pretty popular item. There are so many choices and foods made from soy these days, and there are good and there are better ones.
Okay, let's just go through the menu. Give us a list of the different products you can get made out of soy.
Well, you know, it's basically a vegetarian mock meat sort of substitute. So there are basically what look like meat, hot dogs or hamburgers, or, you know, various kind of stir-fry type foods that are soy-based, and that's been traditionally a good alternative for vegetarians. I'm more of the advocate of the fermented soy products, like the miso or tempeh, or even the soy sauce. Once it's fermented, it's more digestible for humans.
For the people who come over to Quartermaster, make the extra effort to come to your store, what would the average customer say about soy products?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure.
In other words, do they think it is an elixir? It's a cure for all that ails you?
I wouldn't think they'd call it an elixir, but it is a popular item. It's an option for some people. Maybe they have a lot of allergies or intolerances to other foods. So
let's face it, it's not the taste that's brought them over.
No, I mean, whatever you mix soy with gives it the flavor. So it's the sauces and the marinades and things you put with the tofu and whatnot.
What's your personal experience, Andy, with soy, going back how many years and so on?
Well, I was working in health food stores in BC, and it was the elixir back then, over 10 years ago. It was so popular, and everything was made out of it. Sometimes have changed, and it's not as popular these days because there's so many alternatives. You get the rice milk, the almond milk, various other substitutes, other grains instead of soy. There's still the hardcore soy advocates. But I think people are a little more aware now of the better options being the fermented soy products or soy protein.
If you had to pick a year when soy products were the most popular, what time frame are we looking at?
Oh, probably 15 years ago.
Okay, mm-hmm. And since then it's faded. You say not because there's a dark side to soy, but because there are so many other options.
That is true. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Well, I attended the Soy Food Association of North America's meeting many, many years ago now, and they did talk about a leveling off of the sale of soy. So it seems as either leveling off or even possibly decreasing these days.
I think it's also important to differentiate between organic soy products and conventionally grown. And I really like to promote the organic more because you don't want the genetic alteration in the soybean.
I have to ask you this, Andrew. When I was a kid, I heard this, and I don't know it to be true, that there was one main product they made out of soybeans. When they didn't feed it to cattle or whatever, they made steering wheels out of soybeans. Do you know if that's true?
I guess that's if you're hungry on long drives.
I see.
Andy, soy in the United States doesn't even have a GRAS status. It's not even generally recognized as being safe. It's been approved for making cardboard, but it hasn't been approved for human consumption.
Andy, it's fair to say, though, that over the last, 40 to 50 years, soy has been a staple of our diet, increasingly in the 80s and the 90s. As this illusion about how healthy it was grew?
I would think so, and it probably also depends on the special interest groups that promote it in the TV commercials or the ads and as being the wonder alternative. But, as you say, there are both sides to the story.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Andy, just before we let you go, the position that you're put in when people come in and they swear by a certain product like tofu or any soy product, and you may have your own feelings. Obviously, if they want to buy your product, you're going to sell it to them. But I guess you just stand back and hope that people have done their own homework?
Well, pretty much you have to. Everybody is their own moral agent. They have to do their own research. And I think people know what works for their own bodies. At one time, I was like Pam, and I used to drink a liter of soy milk a day. But then I found that it wasn't so good for me. I was a vegetarian at one time. Now I'm not. So you have to find out what works for your body and go with that.
Do you tell people the same thing Pam Colleen tells people, that she is a recovering vegetarian?
If they ask me.
I'd love to see the look on somebody's face when you use that phrase, I'm a recovering vegetarian. Would you use that phrase, Andrew?
Oh, I haven't been for a number of years now, so I think I'm fully recovered.
Oh, okay. So you're a recovered vegetarian.
I guess so. But, I think it's also wise to perhaps not eat meat with every meal. I'm not a rampant meat eater. I do make my choices of meat to the, especially the organic and the free range, the well-brought-up meats. But I don't eat vegetarian foods exclusively, definitely not.
Andy, kind of you to join us this morning. Andy Pettifer, the manager at Quartermaster Health Food Store. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Bye now.
Now, let's talk about our guest who we're going to be joined by in a few moments, Pam. And you've brought in some real dillies, I want to tell you. This woman, before we get to her name, is known as the naughty nutritionist. What does that mean?
Well, it basically means that she goes against conventional thinking in terms of her views and recommendations in the area of nutrition. She has her PhD in nutrition. This woman is no dummy. She is a very, very intelligent woman. And she went into the story of soy wholeheartedly believing that soy is a health food. That's what she thought she was going to find. She thought she was going to find all sorts of research backing up the healthy attributes of soy, and she went in and she discovered the absolute opposite was true. She kept digging up research after research showing a very dark side to soy, and so what she did was she compiled all this research and turned it into a book, The Whole Soy Story. And you know that what I heard from Kayla was that she had trouble finding a publisher, actually, to publish her book, because really in the media, it's just conventional thinking. Everybody just assumes that soy is this healthful food, and they just didn't believe her.
She obviously has a lot of credibility to be invited to visit with Dr. Oz.
Oh, she had a fantastic visit with Dr. Oz. I mean, she held her own. She was basically wedged in between two pro-soy advocates, Dr. Mark Hyman and, of course, Dr. Oz, who are unfortunately dangerously misinformed with regards to soy, and she tried to set them straight.
Do you see, folks, what you just heard? I mean, Pam Colleen has no fear. What did you call Dr. Oz?
He's dangerously misinformed.
Dangerously misinformed. And this is from a recovering vegetarian. See why we have a lot of fun with Pam Colleen. Short break. When we come back, we're hoping to hook up. Where does she live?
She's in New Mexico.
In New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Ryan, don't tell the boss about this long-distance phone call. Anyway, it'll be fascinating. If you thought soy was this wonderful, healthy product, brace yourself for what we're about to hear. Right here in London today on News Talk 1290. CJBK.
Lundy.
Well, why did you start investigating soy in the first place?
I did because I was seeing so many sick vegetarians and other health conscious people, and that didn't match with what I was reading about soy being a miracle food, all those articles, the joy of soy, the soy
right.
of cooking,
yeah.
But I was seeing a lot of sick people, and that aroused my curiosity.
And what kinds of illnesses were they suffering from?
When adults start eating a lot of soy or drinking a lot of soy milk, we most often see thyroid problems. Mm-hmm. And that most often manifests as hypothyroidism with those symptoms of weight gain, lethargy, malaise, and loss of libido. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, so who is this woman who is about to tackle a sacred cow when it comes to nutrition? Her name is Dr. Kayla Daniel. She's wise not to actually visit Canada, given our strong dollar. It would cost her to cross the border. But she joins us by phone. Dr. Daniel, appreciate you joining us this morning. And I have to push one more button. Dr. Daniel, how are you this morning?
Great, thank you.
And you are speaking to us from?
Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Say hello to your friend, Pam Colleen.
Hi, Kayla. Yeah, good morning, Kayla.
You're kindred souls, you know. Pam loves to come in here every Thursday and look for the biggest sacred cow in the area of nutrition and health, and then lasso it and wrestle it to the ground. And that's what we're going to do this morning when it comes to soy. Let me ask you, Dr. Daniel, how high is the pedestal that we have had soy and tofu on and all these soy products for the last 50 years?
It would be quite tall. And the soy industry has been marketing soy as a health food for the last few decades very heavily, and has gotten health claims for soy, markets it as everything that will cure everything from cancer to ingrown toenails, and so it goes.
Ingrown toenails? Soy?
I'm just joking about that part, but they've claimed that it will cure just about everything else.
Do you take delight, Dr. Daniel, when people have this myth that they live with and are so passionate about it, and then you come along and you prick the balloon?
Sometimes it's fun, but it can be very challenging. People get very hurt because a lot of people these days feel that if they can't eat soy, what can they eat? Because so many people have been taught that all the foods that Mother Nature provided for us are no longer good for us. And I'm recommending eggs, and I'm recommending meat and raw dairy products and many other genuine real foods. And so many people have been taught that those are not healthy, and so they're eating soy instead. And then I'm telling them they can't eat the soy, and they're thinking they're going to starve. So it's not always as much fun as you might think.
Do you suspect that right now we have a lot of listeners who are hooked on soy products, who are hanging onto the side of their kitchen table, who are going, Dr. Daniel, please don't demonize this food that I now use daily?
There are those people, and there's also people who say, they are thrilled because they don't like the taste of soy, and to hear that it's not actually good for them is a relief for them.
You will be getting three Christmas cards this year that you never got before. They will be from our three sons who have fought us on tofu and other soy products for years because of what you just said, the taste.
The taste is one of the largest factors in the soy industry. In their research and in their documents, they say there have been several things preventing mass consumer acceptability. One of it was taste, and the soy industry has hired scientists to create all sorts of flavors using good things like MSG plus lots of sugar and salt and other things to give flavor and to cover up the beany flavor that people find offensive. And some of the other objections have been to mouthfeel and to texture. They've been working on that, too. Bitter aftertaste, they've worked on that, too, not really solved it. And another big deal has been the gas problem, the flatulence factor, because soy is the king of musical fruits.
Okay, if we didn't have their attention before, Doctor, I wanted you to just throw this out because we have to take a short break for a news update. Unfortunately, we got you just before the news update. Of all the things that you point a wagging finger at soy products for, one of them is it kills your
libido.
Your libido. You beat me to the punch. Is that true? Because all of a sudden, you got a lot of folks paying rapt attention.
Absolutely. Tofu and soy products are used in Asia in the monasteries because they noticed that when the soy consumption went up, the naughty behavior went down, which helps the monks stay celibate.
Are you saying that this is the agricultural version of saltpeter?
Absolutely.
Well, you've got their attention now, Doctor. Believe me. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with the naughty nutritionist, Dr. Kyla Daniel, all the way from New Mexico. In just a moment, we will keep the phone lines open if you'd like to talk to her right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
A month ago, we did a show on cancer and how you might prevent it through your diet. More than 200,000 of you went to DrOz.com to see the recommendations about how soy, this little bean, can prevent cancer. Now, this soybean can pack a powerful health punch, and I recommend it countless times. But there's a growing chorus of critics who say soy can be risky as well. Could it be more of a danger than a lifesaver? And there are two areas of concern. There's soy and cancer, and there's soy and heart disease. We'll start with the biggest controversy of all, the soy-fueled breast cancer.
I don't know if you saw Dr. Oz. He's a neat guy, you know, Dr. Oz. I mean, just in terms of his style, and he's always saying these shocking things. You think, can you be that blunt about the human body on TV? But he is. Anyway, the clip you just heard was from a show in which he introduced a doctor who is known as the naughty nutritionist. If you have just joined us, she is the naughty nutritionist. And Dr. Daniel, I have to ask you, do you pronounce it Kayla or Kyla?
Kayla,
there we go. Some of the people on the videos I saw were pronouncing it Kayla. Tell us about your appearance in the inner sanctum when it comes to health and nutritional issues, Dr. Oz.
I love being on the Dr. Oz show, and I appeared with Dr. Mark Hyman, and we were talking about the soy controversy. And the wonderful thing is we all could agree that there are certainly problems with modern industrially processed and packaged soy food products. So even people like Dr. Oz, who have recommended soy for many years, he and Dr. Hyman and many others all say that the packaged, processed, industrially processed soy foods are dangerous for us.
Was that Dr. Oz's way of climbing down from the self-righteous pedestal he had been on the issue of soy products?
I'm not sure. I think he's just very open to learning as much as possible. He had Jeffrey Smith on his show to talk about the dangers of genetic modification. He has done a lot of shows lately that are quite bold and make people think.
Now, Kayla, can you talk a little bit about some of the anti-nutrients that are in soy that make soy a problematic food?
Yes, wonderful question. Soybeans quite naturally contain a whole lot of what we call anti-nutrients, and that's anti-nutrition. In other words, There may be vitamins and minerals in soy and the other things you're eating in a meal, but if there's anti-nutrients, that prevents them from being properly digested and used in the body. And some of the anti-nutrients we find in soy are phytates that help prevent us from using calcium and zinc and other minerals that we, of course, very badly need. There's trypsin inhibitors, and that inhibits trypsin, and we need trypsin because it's an enzyme to help us digest protein. So soy is high in protein, but it comes with a whole flock of trypsin inhibitors that make soy hard to digest, not so good. Oxalates, that is related to kidney stones and a problem that many women are experiencing called vulvodynia, which makes it painful to have sex, for example. And there's just a whole lot of other anti-nutrients, lectins, saponins, I could name a bunch. But what I want to talk about is the phytoestrogens, the plant estrogens, because those are what interfere with our hormones, cause endocrine disruption, hormone havoc, and that's not good if you want to feel good or have a libido.
Well, when I heard the expression in one of the videos, hormone havoc, I thought, well, there's a reason not to eat tofu.
You bet, because soy contains high levels of plant estrogens, and they're not identical to human estrogens, but they're close. It affects how we're feeling, many, many effects. We want our natural hormones.
Well, guys, pay attention here. They're talking about your testosterone level, so you need to be hooked in here. I want to just remind our listeners, Doctor, if I could, that the phone lines are open now, and you're talking about their sex life, so they want to have a say as well. 643-1290. Can you go down the list? Since you're looking at the dark side, you've written the book, The Whole Soy Story, The Dark Side of America's Favorite Health Food. Let's just make a list here of a link between soy food and ailments of the human body. What would you put on the top of the list?
The thing people usually experience first, it might be digestive problems. And those people, in a way, are lucky because they have digestive problems. They quit eating soy. It's pretty easy cause and effect. The second thing that shows up is thyroid problems. And, of course, thyroid problems are epidemic with midlife women. People expect it now. And I would never say soy is the only culprit, but the thing is we've got chlorine, we've got fluoride in the water supply, et cetera. There are estrogens, environmental estrogens in plastics and pesticides and supermarket meats. And so you put soy into the mix, and a whole lot of people are seriously overly estrogenized with these environmental estrogens and phytoestrogens, and it affects their thyroid. And after thyroid, we start seeing a lot of reproductive problems. Women who are trying to become pregnant, soy is a risk, and for their male partners, seriously affects sperm count. Harvard School of Public Health released a study indicating 41 million fewer swimmers in a sperm sample, and that's pretty serious.
Now,
and with the women. Oh, go ahead.
And Kayla, you know, with all of the red flags that you're citing here with regards to the problems with soy, I know you've lobbied the USDA, you know, to try and, you know, warn them about the recommendations for soy, in particular the rise of soy even in school foods. Can you talk a little bit about those efforts?
Yes, so we've been very, very active trying to get the word out about the dangers and the risks of soy foods. And that included everything from protesting the recent United States Department of Agriculture recommendations, which are for a lower fat diet, higher soy, more plant foods, etc. And the latest recommendations include accepting the idea that people can drink soy milk instead of dairy milk, etc. And it had a whole section on how vegans can be healthy, and this is an acceptance of veganism that was not typical of the past. So a lot of problems with those USDA recommendations. Soy is part of it. The other U.S. government agency we've been active with is the Food and Drug Administration. I joined several other top scientists a few years ago, and we have submitted a petition asking them to retract the currently allowed soy prevents heart disease health claim. And we established in a 65-page petition that soy does not lower cholesterol, does not prevent heart disease, and in fact can cause heart arrhythmias, can cause cardiomyopathy. And that furthermore, it can raise homocysteine and has no effect that anybody's noticed on C-reactor proteins. So the idea that it can prevent heart disease is ludicrous.
What about the whole issue of breast cancer?
Breast cancer, great question, because the French Food Agency, Israeli Health Ministry, and German Institute of Risk Assessment have all issued warnings to their citizens that women who've been diagnosed with or have a family history of breast cancer should exercise caution having to do with soy consumption.
What are you saying, doctor? I mean, my list, I've had to flip pages and get another pen, and are you suggesting that soy not only has a dark side, but we should just ditch it from our grocery shelves?
Not exactly, because, see, it's fine to have small amounts every week of things like miso soup, tempeh, even a little tofu once in a while. Natto, hardly ever see that in the United States or Canada. But they're healthy foods. A little tofu once in a while, not a big deal. But my biggest concern is the people who are eating soy every day and often several times a day. And one of the biggest problems is soy milk. And it's not that it's the absolute worst product out there, though it is pretty bad, but the people are drinking several glasses of it every day. And it not only contains those plant estrogens, but it contains the phytates that block the calcium. They add to it cheap forms of calcium that are hard to absorb, poor quality vitamin D, and it's loaded with sugar. Terrible for the bones, terrible for our health.
Now, can you talk about the displacing element of soy foods? I mean, these are foods that are nutrient deficient compared to, say, meat or eggs or high-fat dairy products, and people are using them instead of more nutrient-dense foods. Can you talk about that effect?
That is absolutely right, and vegans are at very high risk because they're specifically using soy as a displacing food, to displace dairy and to displace meat, which is against their code of ethics.
Let me ask you about the larger issue, because there's so many directions you can go with this. The phrase, I mean, Pam calls herself a recovering vegetarian. Are you comfortable with that label, that phrase?
I was only a vegetarian for a short time. I felt terrible almost right away, so I guess I was one of the lucky ones, because what happens to a lot of people is they start out, and with the highest and best intentions, of course, and if they've been on the standard American diet, they might actually feel better for a while because they will be eliminating a lot of junk foods on the standard American diet and maybe eliminating junk foods and maybe eating more vegetables, which is good. But long term, if they're eating a lot of soy products, a lot of processed vegetarian foods, and the health food stores are full of those things, those are junk foods tricked out as health foods. And long-term, people's health will decline because plant foods, of course, contain vitamins and minerals and amino acids and other good things, but they are relatively nutrient deficient compared to animal foods, which are very, very rich in nutrition.
Doctor, the clock is ticking away. Before we let you go, I want to ask you, I should have warned you ahead of time that I was going to do this. Can you give us what you would consider the five most shocking lies that we live with about nutrition?
The number one lie would be that fat is bad for us. Saturated fat in particular is bad for us. The second would be that cholesterol is bad for us. And that seems like a very naughty thing to say these days, but I'm the naughty nutritionist, and we need saturated fat and cholesterol if we're going to feel good, if our brains are going to work well, if we're going to produce hormones, if we're going to have a libido and energy to be productive, to feel balanced, etc. So those two things would be number two, saturated fat and cholesterol. Another myth would be that things like soy are good for us, and they are in just about everything. And people who don't exercise caution about their soy consumption do get into trouble sooner or later. Let's see, four and five. If it's got shelf life, don't put it on your home shelves. We want things that are fresh and nutritious and will go bad. Now, that might seem naughty to say we want food that will go bad, but the point is, if it will go bad, eat it before it does. If it won't go bad, don't eat it.
I take it that one of the items on that list is margarine, which you can put in the trunk of your car, leave it in the trunk in Phoenix, Arizona, 130-degree temperatures, come back a year later, and it's still the same product.
They have found things like that in things like soy foods and so forth, things that even rats won't eat, even cockroaches won't eat them. That should be a message to us.
Exactly. Kayla, one last thing. I think it's a big concern for you and myself and many others that we know, and that is the consumption of soy in school foods and children's diets. Can you comment on that?
Yes, that is a huge question, and the whole issue of school lunches is so challenging. I pack my children's lunch every single day because there's nothing that's fit to eat in the school lunch program. It's all processed, packaged, industrial foods, commercial foods, non-organic, very little that's fresh, and loaded up with soy ingredients and sugar and so forth. And then they have all sorts of rules having to do with how much fat is allowed. And because they don't allow much fat, they have to get the calories through things like sugar, and it's very scary.
It's terrifying. I mean, Jamie Oliver has been having a real time of it. And unfortunately, he's promoting the low-fat message.
Kayla, we're almost out of time. I have to ask you, there one item you hadn't mentioned, and that's in terms of being the most vulnerable to soy products, babies.
Absolutely. And the Israeli Health Ministry, French Food Agency, German Institute of Risk Assessment, British Dietetic Association, Swiss Federal Health Service, and many other groups have warned that babies should never receive soy formula except as a last resort. And the reasons are that all those plant estrogens in that soy formula, they will interfere with the baby's development. They interfere with the programming that is going to put that baby through puberty later. And they're overly estrogenizing both our boys and our girls. And that is scary.
Dr. Daniel, it's been a pleasure having you. You remind me of a line I heard in a minister's sermon once. If you're not rocking the boat, you're not even in the boat. And you certainly enjoy rocking the boat. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kayla.
Thank you.
We have just a couple of moments left because in just a moment we're going to go live to St. Louis to talk to Pastor Terry Anderson, Sanderson rather, from London about the horrific tornadoes which have rocked the U.S. and killed almost 200 people. So some concluding remarks, if you would, Pam Colleen.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Kayla Daniel for coming on the show. And, you know, she's, you know, just pioneering a message, a very important message. And I think what Canada has to do, Health Canada in particular, is they have to start listening to people like Dr. Daniel. They're going to change Canada's food guide and unfortunately come up with the same recommendations or very similar recommendations to the USDA's new food guideline and is going to push more and more of these plant-based foods. And unfortunately, that's going to cause us to be much, much sicker as a society. So, you know, we need to work at a grassroots level to help educate Health Canada and get them to stop listening to lobbyists and start listening to common sense.
It just absolutely shocks me. Every time you're in, I get so angry when I hear stories like this, Health Canada not listening to certain groups and being tainted by corporations which are trying to promote their product.
Yeah, like steamroll over us. I mean, and we're suffering for it, and our children are suffering for it.
Pam, thank you again for another amazing show. Pam
thank
Colleen,
you,
every Thursday right here.